to the lost souls, the disintegrated spirits, the wanderers, the dreamers, and the seekers. Welcome to the Embodied Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Danielle McGinnis. Our work in this podcast will be to foster healing, transformation, self-expression, creativity, and the development of consciousness. So with our intentions grounded firmly, let's settle in and do some integration work.
Happy Sunday, and welcome back to another episode of the Embodied Podcast. If you're loving what you're hearing on the show, I would really appreciate it if you went to iTunes and dropped a 5-star rating or a written review to let me know that you are loving the show, or if you want to provide feedback for the show, I would also really appreciate that because it helps continually organically grow the show, and that I am very interested in hearing feedback so that we can continue to have these amazing explorative conversations in a way that helps both you and I expand together. That's really what this podcast, why I wanted to do this podcast in the beginning. So if you have already left a rating or a review, thank you so much. I am very, very grateful for those of you who have taken the time to do that. So on today's podcast, I wanted to just explore something that I have been just watching itself play out in our culture, I suppose. So if any of you out there are into human design, I am a reflector, and evidently the people that I have chatted about human design with say that reflectors are about 1% of the population. But what's different about reflectors are that they are they're like sponges and also like mirrors. And so reflectors are taking in a lot of information all the time and reflecting it back to those around them. And so I wanted to just use the gift of being a reflector to just have a conversation and explore something that I feel is very, very important to have a rooted foundational understanding about, and that is doing shadow work. And this is something that I chatted with my professors and with my classmates about in one of my residentials for my PhD. So if you are just tuning into this podcast, I'm getting my PhD in Jungian and archetypal studies, and I am training to be a depth psychologist. So this is really foundational conversation for the work that I'm doing in my schoolwork. So in that conversation, something that had come up is how we have kind of put a fancy bow on the term shadow and shadow work and used it and marketed it in a way in the West that oftentimes confuses individuals when they get into that realm, because they believe that if they can just figure out how to come to terms with their shadow, that in that they will become a better person. And yes, that is part of the purpose of doing shadow work, but what we really want to sit with is that shadows, they are the most accessible unconscious content to the ego. So there's going to be more of a direct connection from the shadow to the ego. But with that being said, when we're doing shadow work, we're really coming to terms with what within us feels immoral and as if it does not belong. And so that process is going to be inherently painful. And oftentimes when we get into painful situations, when most of us, including myself, are not that comfortable with sitting with the things about ourselves that seem very foreign, so like they belong to someone else, whether they are positive or negative things, or sitting with the aspects of our personality that are very repulsive to us and very immoral. And so it's so easy to project all of that content that actually belongs within each and every one of us onto somebody else. And we start to integrate the shadow material that is the most comfortable and the most, I guess, like I said, accessible to the ego. But what we have to really pay attention to is that if we aren't creating a relationship to the shadow in a way that is relational and dynamic, what we're doing, and if we're keeping it in a very just like comfort level zone, what we're doing is we're just rearranging the less accessible egoic parts of ourselves. And so we're rearranging ego content to make it fit, but we're still kind of wearing this pseudo mask, this facade to the world. And so we really want to get out of the rational realm of integrating what is called the shadow. And I've done an episode way back in the podcast, I think it was episode 3, called Dancing with the Shadow. But I'm probably going to actually create more content on this, because I feel like as a reflector, this is really, really important, because I'm seeing this play itself out in not only the clients that are coming to me that are quote unquote interested in doing shadow work, but also we see this playing itself out collectively through our political systems, through the agendas that are being pumped through the media. And so I think it's really, really, really important that we get a good grasp on that shadow work isn't necessarily going to be comfortable. It's going to require parts of yourself to really, I would say die off, but I don't like to use that word all the time, because even when things die off, they're not necessarily going away. We just have more consciousness around them so that they aren't being, that it isn't the parts of us that are being lived out as much as they used to be. So that's an important aspect of this, is that the shadow never goes away. The point of doing shadow work is that you have more conscious awareness around it, so that you don't become enveloped by all of these overwhelming and uncontrollable somatic sensations, and then you actually just play your shadow out anyway. And that gets into the realm of complexes, and I've done a podcast on complexes, so you can go back and check that out too. But I just wanted to read to you some of Jung's quotes within the collected works, because I think they're really important to realize that what Jung was presenting to us when he gave us shadow is not to make it some just fancy personal development concept. It's actually creating a deep relationship with the uncomfortable parts of your personality that are sometimes in the unknown. So Jung said, first, in dealing with shadow, it is not sufficient just to know about these concepts and to reflect on them. Nor can we ever experience their content by feeling our way into them or by approaching other people's feelings. It is no use at all to learn a list of archetypes by heart. Archetypes are complexes of experience that come upon us like fate, and their effects are felt in our most personal life. And so what Jung is saying there is kind of what I mentioned, that we can't just relate to this internal material as if it's just a concept that we know about ourselves. It's, yes, we can have awareness around it, but we really have to integrate it from a somatic perspective. perspective, and also with an awareness of like, this is part of you. The point of this work is to not deny, not to bring it to consciousness, reflect on it, and leave it at the conceptual level, because what's going to happen is it's going to float back into the unconscious, and then it's probably going to play itself out without you having a deep embodied awareness of that material. And so it's not about learning about something that feels resonant to you. It's about engaging with that material. It's about using dreams to see where your psyche is oriented to that particular shadow. It's to do somatic experiencing work to help your body become more comfortable with unknown affect and in contents of the unconscious that feel very uncomfortable at a nervous system level. It's about gaining awareness around where that's playing itself out. It's about pulling back projections of whether it's positive or negative qualities that we project onto others, or to have an awareness of where we have the tendency to project that onto others. And so this process, again, is so inherently uncomfortable, and to go in with the mindset that we are going to take this content and understand it and make meaning out of it is something that the ego loves to do, to think that it has conquered the unconscious. But Jung was very adamant to say that oftentimes when we think that we have the unconscious has us. And so we need to leave space for there always to be more of us that we don't know. And that's not to say that you're just a problem that can never be solved. That's not what I'm trying to say here. Is I'm just trying to really bring home that shadow work is not some fancy personal development thing. You can't go half-stepping into the unconscious, because a lot of this material is very emotionally toned. It affects the nervous system in a very impactful way. So it's going to pull you into a fight, flight, freeze response often. And so it's really about training from deeper than a rational awareness how to create a relationship with these immoral affective contents of the unconscious. So again, Jung in the collected work said that recognition by itself does not, as a rule, do this, nor does it imply as such any moral strength. In these cases, it becomes very clear how much the cure of a neurosis is a moral problem. So what he's saying here is oftentimes it's not just the recognition of the shadow that makes us now moral. It is really deeply understanding where we view certain parts and aspects of ourselves as immoral in themselves. And it's not just by saying, it's not just by recognizing that we have immoralities that makes us moral. It's holding the aspects of ourselves that are moral and holding the aspects of ourselves that are immoral in trying to hold both of those at the same time. So when you're feeling something that you feel like you shouldn't be feeling, how can you hold that while also feeling, so you're holding what is with what you think should be, and you're holding both of those and learning how to navigate and bridge the gap between your morality and your immorality. And through that, you're integrating those not so comfortable aspects of your unconscious. And Jung goes on to say about archetypes, He says, as the archetypes, like all numinous contents, are relatively autonomous, they cannot be integrated simply by rational means, but require a dialectical procedure, a real coming to terms with them, often conducted by the patient in a dialogue form or through working with the dream or through active imagination. And so, again, this work of the unconscious is not just about knowing. It's about working with and creating a dialectical process, a relationship with these contents as if they were sub-personalities, as if they were parts of yourself, and creating a dialogue, creating a relationship. And the hardest part of that is going to be the parts in which feel like they have so much power over your ego, because it's often threatening your ego's stance on your current morality, and you're going to have to sacrifice or surrender into that process for it to truly integrate into the personality. So it's not just about knowing your shadow, it's about working with your shadow. And as that occurs, then it creates space within your psyche so that different archetypal contents can move in and work in and through you. And I've seen this play itself out not only in myself, in my own process of working with unconscious contents, but with my clients. So we start a process of one-on-one calls, and we start to monitor dreams and tend to the dream. And I'm thinking of a particular client, just having like very, very intense somatic nightmares. And what we did during our sessions is to work with the images within the dream and do somatic experiencing with those images. So we're bridging safety from a nervous system perspective of that archetypal and also shadowy unconscious material. And as we tracked the dreams, just seeing how the unconscious starts to slowly manifest itself in a more, it was showing how much more comfortable the ego was with these unconscious contents. And so different characters come up as, you know, the inner healer or the trickster that actually catalyzes the healing. So it's really important for us to not identify with any of this content that comes forward. So you have an amazing dream that is pretty archetypal and has a lot of significance. It's very important to not identify with that, because again, what we're doing is we're just now shifting around ego contents and wanting to identify with things that make us look more powerful or good. And that's not what this whole process of working with the unconscious is about. And that's something that has come up in my Born to Heal cohort this time around, because this cohort in particular, we're starting to integrate dreams into the course. And so as my participants are going through the course, you know, the question often comes up is, you know, like what does this mean? And so instead of asking what does this mean, asking what is happening here, because what does this mean is trying to reduce or concretize a situation down into meaning. And that's typically what the ego does when it wants to make sense of something that feels inherently unsafe. So before we go into the realm of meaning, being present and asking what is happening here to try to understand more deeply and create a relationship with that particular dream setting, dream image. And then also, instead of what does this dream figure mean, ask who is visiting here. And it really starts to shift our perspective away from just an egoic way of conquering, because if we look from a depth psychological perspective, the hero archetype is often representative of the ego. And so the ego likes to conquer and to make meaning out of things. And that's because oftentimes we don't have the internal ego strength to bring in unconscious content. But the whole work is to create a deeper sense of safety for the ego to slowly start to integrate these contents. And so if we don't have an understanding of ego strength and that the ego needs to not ego inflation, right? Because that actually is what happens when the ego is weak and the ego is presented. So your sense of I, the ego is presented with material from the unconscious. So we see this when people are making courses about take this quiz and figure out what archetype you are. And what that's doing is it's giving material for a weak ego to identify with. And so it takes a lot of inner work in this space that I'm talking about to realize that you're not just one thing. You are all of the things. And so when we want to identify with one particular aspect of the personality, that in itself is showing us the work. That's showing us where perhaps we feel inherently unsafe to be more than one thing. And so our work there is to create more space so that not just you're not over-identifying with one particular aspect of the unconscious, because that can be very dangerous, because we become inflated and then we think we're better than other people because we know more than other people. And it's actually really funny there, because again, using that Jung quote, like, you don't have the unconscious has you at that point. And so I think really what this whole conversation is boiling down to is that when you're working with unconscious content, so shadows, masculine, feminine, archetypes, anything in that realm, you have to leave space for what you do not know to still exist. So if you believe that you are in a space of absolute knowing about yourself, oftentimes that's where the work needs to occur. We need to create more ego strength so that the ego knows that this isn't about rational conceptual knowing. It's about a relationship. And if any of you are in a relationship out there, you can realize that as much as you think you know your partner, they're always going to present some form of mystery to you. And that's what kind of shocks us in relationship, is we're like, oh, we thought we knew that person, but we don't. And that's exactly what the relationship with yourself, with your unconscious is like, is realizing that you are a mystery to be explored for the rest of your life. And the whole point of this work isn't to inflate yourself by becoming conscious of the shadow. It's about realizing and being in right relationship to those contents and to the unknown, because it's not about rationalizing, making sense, and concretizing. It's about building a deep lifelong relationship with inner figures. And some of these inner figures have been traumatized and they need help kind of being released out of the prisons in which our complexes have put them in. And some of the work is about waking up elements within ourselves that have laid dormant for our whole lives. But the whole point of being very conscious of, and conscientious about the way that we navigate this work, is that it creates more space. And the more space you have within your psyche for this material to come forward, and the more safety you have within your psyche and your soma for this material to come forward, the more integrated this work is actually going to be. It's not going to be just rearranging ego contents and inflating yourself. It'll be a true integrative process that offers forward a sense of ease and a sense of peace about being and navigating a life that is sometimes inherently traumatic, and it requires much suffering in that process. And so if we can come to terms with exploration and realizing there is always going to be a level of unknown about this whole game called life, I think we'll be in a really good place. And so hopefully this episode has allowed you to orient yourself a bit more so that you don't get caught up in the Western thing that we do by trying to make everything shiny and fancy and fun, because oftentimes this work with unconscious material is anything but that, but it is also required for striving towards wholeness, which is, I think, what this is about. But I hope that you guys have an amazing week, and I have an amazing interview this Thursday coming on the podcast, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Bye, guys. We'll be right back.